Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We know who runs the route, but now it's time.
But now it's time to dive into the guys throwing the ball.
Welcome to QB Class.
Presented by Reception Perception. Here's your host,
Zach Miller and Derek Clapton.
Welcome back, guys. Welcome to another episode of QB Class. I'm Zach Miller here with Derek Klassen, our QB guru here at Reception Perception. Got a good episode today. We are going into LSU Tiger, Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels. Overall, just kind of a bad mother. I don't know if I can say that on here, so I'm going to clip right there. We'll get Matt's permission before we go into that. But it's going to be a great show today, going over the full profile of Jaden Daniels. We're going to do some film breakdown on the YouTube show, so check that out later. But to start off, how are you doing today, Derek?
I'm doing good, man. We're in kind of the last push of the draft season. I'm actually going to go take a little trip out to Vegas real quick and get a little bit of rest before the draft season really finishes out. So I'm doing okay, man. How are you?
I'm good. I've kind of similar to you with Matt's stuff. My life gets a little bit busier around this time, but no complaints. I get to take it a little easy during the season. I have such a strange schedule for a sports employee. It's like during the season, that's kind of my like, oh, I can relax a little bit. And then during the off season, I'm like busting my butt trying to get everything done. So I've come off my break. I'm ready for some deep charting for sure.
Yeah, NFL season's different from Reception Perception season.
Yeah, 100% NFL. If you don't know that out there, NFL season is very, we're like one of the only places that the off season is busier for us for sure. Before we get into the show though, I know you're a big gamer. League of Legends is, I believe, your cup of tea. Did you play any of the NCAA games when they were popular?
Definitely. I think I'm like not quite as nostalgic about them as other people. Like I'm definitely gonna play it when it comes back. But I definitely played them a lot. I think it was I think it was like NCAA 05. I think it was the Larry Fitzgerald cover, whichever that one was. That was probably the one I played the most. And that one was like, it had all like the stupid power-up cards and all that other stuff. It felt more like an arcade stupid thing, which is how games should feel. And so that's more of what I remember with NCAA, is like the gimmicky type stuff that was in the game. That's how it should be, man. Games are stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. I that was my worry with it. We'll rant on this a second, but that was my worry about like the new game coming back, is if they're just going to make it like a Madden 2.0 where it's just kind of like the same. Yeah, you're right. 2005 was Larry Fitzgerald's pick cover, where it's just like Madden 2.0 where you lose like the arcadiness of it.
Yeah, like games are stupid, man. Like games should be dumb. Like I want the dumbass power-up kick thing where I can kick a 98-yard field goal for the hell of it. Like that's what I want out of my game. I don't want super serious simulation, blah blah blah, whatever.
I'm on the Jason Kelce side too. Bring back backyard football. That was one of my favorite games of all time. please. It's silly. It's fun. I loved it. Please bring it back. I'm hella excited for NCAA though. I really hope they crush it with the amount of excitement that that game has. They really need to not let that down. But I want to get your best EA Sports voice. So give me a nice clip. You know the intro I'm talking about. So let me see what you got.
Of course. All right. Let me try to get into the mood here. EA Sports. It's in the game.
That was not bad. That was not bad.
I don't know if I've ever done that like random. So
no, we'll leave that up for the listeners. Reach out to Derek if you we'll submit that as a formal submission to EA as a new voiceover guy. I was gonna do one, but now I'm not going to because there's no way I can compete with that.
Yeah,
that
you should have gone first. No, you should have led.
I know, I should have gone first, blown me out of the water. No, that was excellent. You have the voice for it for sure. Maybe we'll have to get some NCAA going on where that pops out when we're slow and
definitely
have some free time.
Throw a stream up or something.
But let's get into Jaden Daniels. Starting off, I mean, when this episode is out, the profile is going to be there. People are going to be looking at this. For all intents and purposes, let's just get this out of the water. When you're looking at this chart, he is the most accurate QB we've charted just by statistics level. We're going to break that down, talk a little bit more what that entails, but adjusted accuracy, 77.3%. It's the highest in the class so far by a good margin of what we did. JJ McCarthy was second with a 71.4. It's about 6% higher with Jaden Daniels. That's a huge bump. So get that out of the way. Talk to me about what you saw there.
I mean, yeah, Jaden Daniels like is really accurate. I think that's, you know, I've been lower on Daniels and we'll get into all that stuff later, but I think the one thing that is pretty hard to take away from him is his accuracy. I think he can throw to every level of the field. Obviously his deep ball accuracy is like the thing that everybody gravitates to, and obviously he is really good at that, and that like boosts his overall accuracy a little bit because that stuff is weighted, but generally he throws to every area pretty well. I think he can get touch outside of the numbers and he has enough velocity to make those throws work. He can pin throws like just on a guy's numbers outside, you know, towards the sideline. He doesn't throw the middle of the field a lot, but he can do it. Like he has the velocity and the accuracy to do all that stuff. And I think the other thing that really helps his accuracy is he's just a guy who kind of plays on time and makes generally good decisions a lot, especially for the college game. Like I have some concerns about like how he's going to anticipate at the NFL level, especially over the middle of the field, but just in terms of making the right decisions with what he's been given at the college level, I think he does a really, really good job and his footwork is clean. So he's never like out of sorts and messing that stuff up. So I think he's just an accurate passer pretty much across the board, which is really nice for him for sure.
What stood out to me the most in comparison to some of the other quarterbacks of this class is his touch passing. It felt like something that was kind of lacking in the class. JJ's a bullet thrower, frozen rope, all that jazz. Drake May, a little bit of that can put some air under the ball. But I feel like when I'm watching Jaden Daniels, he's just a touch pass artist. Like he's kind of really good at placing that ball, which probably does add to the accuracy levels of his data. But is that something you noticed when you were charting as well? Because I know you watch more games than I do. And you're an arm strength enthusiast as well. I'm a little less on that side. I don't mind as much if they can't rip an 80-yard ball down the field. I was a big fan of like Teddy Bridgewater style football. Obviously didn't last, so don't take my word for that there. But kind of the like placement style football, did you see that respectively in his film?
I want to say really quickly, I love Teddy, and I think if his knee didn't explode, he would have been really good. I think he was Philip Rivers reincarnate. But no, to your point, I do love, like, if I'm going to bet in the draft on a top five pick, I want a guy who can just throw it through a cruise ship, definitely. But at the same time, I think Daniels is, like, comfortably over the bar for what is, like, can this be a good NFL starter? Like, I've compared his arm a lot to, like, Tyrod Taylor, where the velocity is like nice, but it's not really the hallmark of what he does. It's more that just he is over the bar and then just has this like consistent, repeatable motion that can get enough depth down the field. And he controls it very well with some of the arc and some of the touch that you're talking about. I really think with him, it does come down to the motion. He's a thrower where like, so with McCarthy, when we talked about him, he's the guy who it feels like he's throwing at 110% energy all the time. Like he is just everything into his throws. Jaden Daniels is more like, it looks like he's throwing at like 85% all the time.
He's not like, it just feels, trying.
Yeah, he's not like trying to gun it and get everything out of it. Like, he can do it every now and then, but he's more of just like consistent, repeatable, try to make this a very easily catchable ball. And I think, I mean, once when you play five seasons, you're going to figure out how to throw catchable balls. And I think he's done really good at that.
I know he doesn't slot in as your top 1-2 quarterback, but where does he land in the conversation with JJ McCarthy, Drake May, Caleb Williams for you? We'll get that out of the way quick before we dive into the deeper charting here.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, so for me, Drake and Caleb are in a tier of their own, and I just don't think it's close with any of the other guys. Because like I've said, I think when I'm betting on a top five pick, I want someone who looks and has the arm talent of the other top five quarterbacks in the league, the Justin Herberts, the Josh Allens, Patrick Mahomes, all that sort of stuff. And I think Drake and Caleb pretty clearly check those boxes. The next tier to me is Jaden and JJ, and I think they're very, very different flavors of quarterbacks. McCarthy is a little bit more like developmental. You can see whatever you want, has the arm strength, all that jazz. Jaden Daniels, I think, is more of a consistent processor who like doesn't put the ball in harm's way, has really, really good legs. The arm talent is fine, but not going to wow you in any way. I think he's like, what's funny about Jaden Daniels, I think my take is people see him as this like really high ceiling prospect because they see the deep accuracy numbers, they see the way he runs, all that other sort of stuff. I think he's actually more of like a high floor guy because I think legs are just instantly going to give you a high floor as a player. He's a guy who doesn't put the ball in harm's way, which is usually going to be like a high floor trait to me. And then the general accuracy, I think, to me is like kind of a high floor thing. Like, he to me is just, it feels like right away he'll probably be fine. I'm just not as sold, I think, on like the super high end traits and skills that I think some people might be. I would still take him in the first round. It's just third overall to me is a little sketchy.
I mean, it's so hard with, I feel like a lot of these guys, whatever class you're in, top five is just guaranteed because of the need at a quarterback position. It has so much less to do with skill. It's like when you're talking running back, it's like you could be the fifth best prospect overall in the class, you might not sniff the top 10. Though we saw that with Bijan and
but that's rare, right? Like, that just doesn't happen a lot. Yeah.
Very, very rare. So I don't know if necessarily the NFL thinks per like overall ranking in the class, just because you're a top five pick means you're a top five prospect. You just have to have a quarterback in this NFL landscape. We talked a little Briefly, we cut it short so that we could have it on the show, but we talked a little bit earlier about Jaden Daniels and where we saw him in the NFL, and we kind of both were on a similar page, but I want to discuss it a little bit more of we're a little worried he's going to be a better college quarterback than he was going to be an NFL quarterback. You see that sometimes with Heisman winning quarterbacks, whether it's, and not comparison wise, but like Tim Tebow, that style of like, just because you're a really, really great college player doesn't mean it necessarily translates to the NFL. What are some of those red flags for you that have that worry with Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, so I think he's going to translate to the NFL just in terms of being like not a total embarrassment. Like, I don't think it's going to be a Tim Tebow situation or anything like that. I think he'll acquit himself well and look like someone who can play a little bit. I'm just worried about the super high-end stuff that makes, you know, top eight, top 10 quarterbacks. A line I kind of had about, I actually wrote about Drake May versus Caleb Williams about a week ago for Bleacher Report. And a line that I had was like, elite pocket management and the ability to throw from muddy pockets. If you look at all of the top 10 quarterbacks, they all have it. And everyone outside the top 10, you're going to find a couple who have it, but like generally they're not that good at it. Like, that to me is kind of a big marker of, does this guy have high-end traits? To me, Drake and Caleb very obviously check that box. Jaden Daniels, I'm not so convinced that he has that in him. I don't think he's a guy who's necessarily like afraid of pressure, because I think when stuff does happen, he can like go out and create and stuff. I just think he's very quick to leave the pocket. And I think in the NFL, that's not going to work as much, or you're going to kind of limit the way that the offense functions. And what's interesting about when he does leave the pocket, he doesn't throw from outside the pocket a lot. Like, when he leaves, he runs. It's very like Jalen Hurts is a lot of this way. And I think that's part of why I don't like him as much. Whereas you look at a lot of the other top 10 quarterbacks in the league, like even Lamar, I think people consider as like, oh, he's a running quarterback. Dude, when Lamar leaves the pocket, like, he's looking to throw. He will run when it's absolutely necessary, but like, he is looking to throw when he's outside the pocket. And I think the fact that Jaden doesn't do that is a little bit of an issue. And then within the pocket, if you go through his film, like his numbers against pressure are good. I think he's like 66% in my charting, but not all pressures are created equally, if that makes sense. And I think when you watch guys like Drake and Caleb, the pocket is so much more like all of it is collapsing on them. And I think those guys can still make throws from muddy pockets where they have to just get these weird platforms, these weird angles off. I don't see that as much with Jaden Daniels. I think when he does get crowded and things get a little bit, you know, he's got to figure out something weird, I think he struggles a little bit with that. It's why I think when he is clean, his motion is so repeatable. He's so accurate. But I think when he's pushed off that, he just doesn't have the juice that some of the other guys have. And so that's one of my biggest concerns with Jaden Daniels.
A testament to kind of how successful the LSU team was, though, is partially of this accuracy, is that he has two really, really phenomenal wide receivers there with LSU that Malik Nabers can absolutely take the top off of the defense. You cannot cover him man-on-man coverage. He didn't tend to see a lot of man-to-man coverage in college either, but he Jaden Daniels did a respectable man success rate at 60%. That's kind of almost the benchmark. Like, that's kind of right in the middle of neutral, but his zone success rate was 80.8%, which, again, highest mark in this class. Completing 80% of your passes against zone is great. I mean, zone's a little easier to complete passes to, but that's an absolutely astounding mark. In my opinion, that shows a lot of testament to the LSU team more than it did to Jaden Daniels, where he can kind of put that ball up in the air in a place where they can get it. And his two wide receivers were coming down with that a lot. I see that translating very much to the pathway of success for the NFL for him is, like you said, not necessarily the ceiling player of like, this is going to be the guy that absolutely takes charge, is a playmaker, is a huge different maker, like your Josh Allen's, Patrick Mahomes. But I hate using the word game manager. That's not what I'm looking for here, and it's not what I want to go, but it's like, I feel like he's the type of player that can have a lot of success in a situation like Tua, where you are just kind of the facilitator for this offense, not necessarily the playmaker. That's kind of what he was and what led him so much success in LSU, was being the facilitator of this very good offensive system. If he falls in a situation like that in the NFL, great. I'm perfectly comfortable. I think he'll be successful. Like you said, have that like very high floor of like, he's not going to bust. He's an accurate quarterback. That tends to translate really well to the NFL. Your accuracy usually doesn't just fade or go away. But I feel like he does kind of need that to succeed at like a super high level. Would be like a really good supporting cast. I don't know if he's going to get that in any of these top five picks, but I really do think the best case for him would be at the Commanders. What do you feel about that?
I think Commanders would be really nice. I do want to quickly touch on his high zone success thing. That to me is another, like to your point, a high floor thing. I think even when you look at a lot of the NFL guys that I charted last year, like that's just very much a trait where it's like, okay, you are clearly a competent quarterback if you can beat zone coverage. And then the guys who are just insane against man coverage, it's like, okay, those are the guys who are a little bit different, or have some degree of help from their receiving core. Which I think in this case kind of applies to Daniels, where he's just, when you know you have Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., who are both probably top 15 picks, and then their tight end Mason Taylor, I think is going to be really, really good. Like, it's a little bit easier to have confidence in those throws, which I think is something that we don't take account for sometimes with stuff like this. Whereas like you watch Drake May and it's like, dude, I get why he doesn't trust these guys. And I get why these throws look a little bit different, because these guys just aren't as good. Like Tez Walker, even, you know, he's going to be an NFL player, but he's not anywhere close to Nabers or Brian Thomas Jr. So I do think that's definitely part of it. But I do think a place like Washington, the skill talent would be really good for him, because I think those are guys who can beat man coverage, and he's a guy who will trust them to go win those routes, and he can go make those throws pretty accurately. I would be a little bit concerned about the offensive line in Washington with some of my pocket concerns for him. I think especially year one, you might get a lot of situations where he's just bailing out of the pocket eight times a game. Yeah, just running out of like and instantly doing it, which is like my concern with him, where he's just not going to try to manage it. He's just going to instantly feel it and go. But if they can like keep his head on straight with that stuff for a year and then maybe fix the offensive line the following offseason, kind of like what the Panthers are trying to do right now with Bryce Young, then I think they could figure something out there for sure.
He has the second lowest checkdown target percentage of the quarterbacks we've charted, second only to Caleb Williams, who just didn't happen in USC's offense. He doesn't like checking down. They didn't want him to check down.
Right.
but Jaden Daniels, a little different scenario. He didn't check down a lot. And I think that a lot of that goes to what you said, where when he's out of the pocket, he's running. He's not necessarily the smallest quarterback in the world. He's 6'4", 210, which I think is great. I'm not a big, like, I think 210 is a high-end estimate.
I feel very dubious about that number. I think there's a reason he didn't weigh it at the combine. That's all I'm going to say.
But he could, I think he's trying to get there by his pro day, which we get to see. Yeah. I think his pro day is going to leave us a lot of answers that we have. And I think that's good for him to stay and do that in a place that he's comfortable. But his weight is going to be a question that people have. I'm not really concerned about that. I feel like the NFL landscape has kind of changed a lot, where these guys aren't getting hit like they used to be. If they do get hit, if it's injuries, it tends to be happening like knee down. I don't care that much. I know we differ a little bit on that. The 6'4 is way more important to me than the 210 is. I think he can put that weight on in the NFL. You can't grow inches in the NFL. That doesn't happen. So he can already lift up, get over the offensive line. His athleticism is great. He's not a Lamar type of athlete. I get that. I see that comparison a lot. They're not really cut from the same cloth in terms of that. He's just like an above average athletic quarterback. And I think that'll translate, but not necessarily to like the 1,000-yard rushing type of seasons. But I'm interested to see his pro day. Specifically, I'm looking for a little bit about that arm strength, because a lot of times I could see when he's doing those like post corner routes that are fading to the sideline, I feel like a lot of times he was leaving those kind of short, which is a worry for me against like cover two zones in the offense. You don't want to leave those passes short. Those are something you got to complete. What are you looking for out of his pro day?
Literally just his weight. Like if he can't get to 210, I'm going to be scared, because like the thing is, so Bryce Young got to 204, which is obviously below 210, but like Bryce Young is 5'10, which is another concern in and of itself. But like 204 on a 5'10 frame is a lot different than you know, 205, if that's what Daniels comes in at 6'4". Like, you know, people thought Lamar was skinny coming into the NFL when he was 6'2", like 212. People thought Trevor Lawrence was skinny when he was like, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and like 216 pounds. Jared Goff was in that range. And those were guys we thought were skinny. So Daniels is going to be as tall as those guys. And by all likelihood, probably skinnier. The issue to me, too, with his weight is that, so when he got to Arizona State 5 years ago or whatever, he was like 155 pounds soaking wet. So like he's already added a ton of weight. And so I'm just kind of worried, like, how much more road do we actually have here? Whereas like a guy like Lamar, I feel like he was a much younger prospect. So it was like I could kind of talk myself into him adding more weight. And he has. What with Daniels, like he's already done so much for his frame that I'm just like, I don't know how much more we have to go here.
I guess I just don't have that kind of concerns too much. It's probably a hole in my game where I hole in my game as if I'm an athlete, hole in my evaluation. That I like to think that there, like, you can have success regardless of your physical frame, especially at the quarterback position. I know it's a little harder, but it's just kind of a softer sport than it was back in the day. Back in the day, we're like 20 something.
Right.
But it's a little bit softer of a sport. I don't have that too much concern. And also, I do think, like, he is a little older, but once you get to the NFL, you're with the NFL fitness, you're with the NFL like eating programs. Like, you're going to put on playing weight before the season. I don't have too much of a concern about that, more than I care about like the other skill sets, to where I think he could put on the weight, but can he do the other stuff? So I really don't know if I have the same concerns as you there, which is probably why I have him a little higher than you up. I think he lands close to my 2-3. I haven't really decided between him and May, but I don't know. I don't know how to feel about the in-between, and I just don't care about weight that much, which is probably a downside of my evaluations of people.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think for me, it's a couple of things. I think one, if he wasn't a running quarterback, I probably wouldn't be as concerned about it. But he is. And so I think he does, like, and the other thing is, okay, so he's a running quarterback and he also plays like he has a death wish, which hasn't hurt him yet. But in the NFL, it's different when, you know, Dre Greenlaw is hitting you. It's a little bit different. And so I'm a little bit concerned with that. And then I also think in the NFL, you're just naturally going to take more hits in the pocket as opposed to the college game, especially when you're in a, you know, a good offense like LSU was, where you can be a little bit more protected. I think in the NFL, like, you're naturally just, hits are going to happen. And that's where I kind of have more of the concern with guys who are hovering the 200 to 210 range. Even guys who I think are very good still have some of that issue, where like Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, when they do get hit in the pocket, they're going down like instantly, and sometimes that stuff can be an issue. So that's really more my big concern. And then the other thing is just the game is different, but there's like no precedent for a sub 210 pound quarterback who is good. It's like Jim McMahon and like Seneca Wallace, and that's, and like Seneca Wallace is obviously very, very far stretching what like good means.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. I think his weight is going to be a huge part of coming into his pro. It's going to be everything to make or break his draft stock. And I think the difference in landing spot for him could be more impactful than any of these other quarterbacks in the draft. If he's in an offense that is an under center, like old school offense, my concerns skyrocket.
Yeah.
I if he's in a spread offense, I feel much more comfortable with him. Something where, well, hard to tell now with Cliff Kingsbury, but again, the Commanders just pop into my mind, where it's like, you have all these options. You can run a spread offense. The air raid was whatever overrated is not, but say what it is, it still is a spread offense. So I'm fine with that. But if he ends up in a landing spot somewhere where they're asking him to take the majority of his snaps under center in a classic like three-step drop. My concerns are going to skyrocket for this guy. So I think that makes it hard for me to rank him as my QB2, which is why I might put May a little bit above, to where he just has a little bit more versatility and like a system fit. But if he gets to the right system, you could see, like you brought up earlier, he could have the earliest success of these quarterbacks. He's pro ready in terms of like passing. He's very accurate. He can read the schemes very well. I don't know. I didn't look too much in his progressions. How did you view of him like reading defenses and kind of like getting through his progressions, his speed of that? Do you want to talk to me a little bit about that?
I think the way I would describe it is he very much plays like someone who is not like naturally insane at, you know, progressing and seeing the field. Like Caleb to me is just like, we can say whatever we want about like he's raw and he might have to learn a bit of stuff, but like he has just a very natural feel for how to see the game. Daniels, I feel almost the opposite, where it's like, okay, he can go 1 to 2 to 3. It's a little bit late. He's not going to jam the ball into bad spots. So it's like he gets to this baseline where it's like, okay, he's a functional processor. I struggle to see like high level moments of anticipation with him. Like when I watch Caleb and when I watch Drake May, they are just throwing some wicked routes over the middle every now and then, or just like, you know, ripping a corner with like insane leverage, just like crazy stuff where they're clearly like trust that they can make a ridiculous throw and they're trying to thread the needle and really push the envelope. I don't see that as much with Jaden Daniels. I think when he does throw over the middle, which is not a lot, it's only like 9 to 10% of his throws, which is pretty low. For the 11 to 20 yard range, I mean, like that's to me the money spot in the NFL. He doesn't throw a lot of those balls. And when he does, it's like, I can't remember what game, but I was watching a game last night to like kind of to freshen up. But he basically just stares at the dig route the entire time when he's going to throw it, because like otherwise he just won't throw the middle of the field. He's just not comfortable with it. And so when he does, it's like, I have to see it the entire way. I have to know exactly where it's breaking, exactly what the defender's doing. Whereas I just don't think you see that many moments of like, he takes the snap, he goes 1 to 2, knows where, you know, the whole defender should be, and just turns and fires and prays that he's going to beat it. Like you just don't see that stuff. And to me, that is like another marker of like the really good NFL quarterbacks do this a lot. And I just don't see that with him. And for a fifth year guy, I would like to see that a little bit more.
Speaking to the target percentage rates, is one of the things that stood out to me putting together his graphic was the absolute ridiculous amount of curls that he threw. Was almost a quarter of his. I don't know if I've seen that since we started doing this quarterback tracking, but legit 24.6% of his passes, so about a quarter of his entire tracked passes, were curls. That's 102 attempts. He was good on them. 84%. That's a really great completion rate.
But yeah, he's
a quarter
great at it.
You do throw those curls, but a quarter of your passes being curls was crazy to me. I forgot to bring that up earlier, but that was that one. I saw it. You see it in the tape. They do throw the curls. They throw the dig a lot. Like he does stare that down and like, wait, as soon as they break, he throws it in there, and he's got a high success rate on it. But that's a lot of passes to be a curl. I feel like you're throwing curls and nines a lot if that's what you're doing.
That's the thing, is like, if you really scour the tape, you can find whatever throw you want. But like a majority of what they're doing is they're just running curl routes at various depths and they're throwing nine routes. And look, he's really good at those. But like, that's the offense. That's actually kind of why I think like the ideal way to treat him in the NFL is like Jalen Hurts, where you're just like, we're going to RPO. We're going to use him in the run game. We're going to do some quick game stuff, especially outside the numbers. And we are going to throw the piss out of the ball outside the numbers down the field. like that's just kind of how you need to build it for him. And I think if you can get the right tools, the right players, it can work. But to me, it's just like a little bit of a limited scope. Whereas kind of what you were saying about Drake, and I think this applies to Caleb as well, there's just more like, I feel like those two, you could throw them into any offense and it's like, yeah, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. And that's my big knock, is how much I love Jaden Daniels' film. I loved watching him in college. The Heisman, obviously very well deserving of the Heisman Trophy. but it's scheme based for me in the NFL. Like it matters to me where he goes, and I don't love relying on that, especially with the quarterback position, because there's not as much of a choice as it was anymore. You don't see these guys like Lamar where they could fall to the 32nd overall pick in the draft. Like, we're not going to get to pick where that is. So I already told my very personal preference here is with the Commanders. I think they have the weapons. They should be able to run that zone, not the zone, the spread scheme that'll fit to his offensive line is a question, but I feel like most of the top five picks offensive line is going to be a question. I don't know if he goes number two overall, but that would be my pick. Where would you like to see him end up in the NFL?
Where would I like to? I mean, it's not going to happen, but like New York, the Giants, I think actually makes a lot of sense, because I think Dable just has experience with quarterbacks who kind of function like this and especially want to use their legs a lot.
He would crush doing those RPOs. He would absolutely crush in that like crutch system they laid out for Daniel Jones. Yep.
And like they love playing out of empty, which Jaden is actually pretty good at, because he can throw the stuff outside the numbers. Like, I think in an ideal world,
rumors they're moving for Brandon Ayuk, and that would make me feel a lot better.
That would give him his like Malik Nabers, like, you know, they're kind of similar players, him and Ayuk, and I think it would give him a little bit of familiarity there. So that would be pretty good. But that's probably like my pie in the sky landing spot, but. And 99% chance is Washington or New England, which Washington has better skill players, so probably them.
That's my I would like to see the Commanders go Daniels and New England go May. I think preferably that's how I'd like to see that shake out. But look at us, we're not predicting to draft here. If we were, I'd be putting a lot more money on it. So
right.
Who knows? All right, well, that's going to close it out on the Jaden Daniels episode. If you want to go watch us break down the film, his profile more in depth, head over to the YouTube channel. We've been doing those videos once a week. We'll be doing more quarterbacks up until the NFL draft after Derek's vacation this weekend. So leave him alone on Twitter, except for his flight. Log in for that Q&A. And until then, we'll see you guys next time.